Today's daf from Masechet Tzvachim brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh is daf Kuf Chet, and we're holding on to Kuf Zayin Amud Beit, and we were just about to complete the sugya yesterday about the machlokas that we had between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan about Kedush Rishon HaKitchelashayta and its relationship to the machlokas, which we thought was a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, about whether you could bring korbanos without a bayit, whether you needed to build kila'im, or whether you just put up the kila'im mishum tzniyuta, which is the way the Gemara came up, possibly, at the end. And anyway, halacha l'maisa, I just want to make it clear that the Rishonim, first of all, it seems that even though in our Gemara we're comparing the issues, l'maisa, as the Rambam explains, there's a big difference between the question of Kedusha Rishona Kitchela Shaita Kitchela Tidlafo when it comes to the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael versus Kitchela Shaita Kitchela Tidlafo when it comes to the Dinim of the Mokom HaMikdash itself. And furthermore, what we're saying over here, Liba Dereish Lakish, many Rishonim learn that the only machlokas is whether you're near Chiyav Kares on Akraba B'chutz. Certainly everybody, according to Reish Lakish, would be made it, that you're not allowed to be maktav b'chutz. And basically, psak halacha, the way that the Rambam puts it, is simply like this, that me, sheshachat kachim b'chutz, b'zman haseh, ve'he'alem chutz la'zora chayav. Why? Very simple. Mipnei shuhura oili karev b'fnei. Even today, it is still completely royal mizbeah. Sha'arei mutter la'akriv afal pi she'ein bayit. There's no problem of bringing a korban, even though there is no beis hamikdash, mipnei shekedusha rishona kitchela shaita v'kitchela atid lavo, when it comes to the kedusha shechina, as the Rambam has been mefarish elsewhere. So basically, there is no way to be makriv a korban b'zman haseh, and that's the Rambam's final psak on this issue. I mean, unless, of course, you get into the Beis Hamikdash and you actually put up a mizbeach, that would be fine. Okay, let's take a look at another question here at the bottom of Kuf Zayin. And this is also about machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish in the dinim of Hakrovas Chutz. Somebody is ma'ale ve'im bo kizay. Now, we know that the minimum shear of ha'alah is one kizay. Same achilas hamizbeach and the same for achilas adam. Achilas considered to be a kizai. Now, in this case, you don't have a kizayis of meat, but you still have a kizayis in the aver because the etzem is mashlimo the kizayit. So together with the bone that is contained in this piece of meat, it is actually the correct volume. It's the correct shear of a kizayit. What's the dent? Rabbi Yochanan says you're chayav because you have a kizayit. Reish Lakish says you're pater. What's the explanation? This is a question on that revolves around the issue of chidurei oilin ke'oilin dam. Rabbi Yochanan says that in defining the nature of ha'alah, anything which is mechuber to something that will be brought up is considered to be part of the mitzvah of ha'alah and the Beis HaMikdash. It's considered to be part of the isra of ha'alah schutz when it comes to the dinim of Allah's chutz. So that's called chiburei olin to olim dam. Reish Lakish says, you're pater, because the only things that are really called Allah are those things that would be royal and mizbeach on their own. And just because it's mechuber, and therefore we don't have to take it off, doesn't mean that it has the same din as the ha'alah. Now, a similar issue, at least the Gemara thinks it's similar at the beginning, is this. Boy, Rava, suppose somebody would be Ma'ale, Rosh ben Yonah she'en bo kizayit, u'melech mashlimo lo kizayit. Now remember, we were talking about the Hakrova of the Elasa of. So we said that remember you take the Rosh and you actually dip the whole thing into a container of salt, and with the salt that is now sticking to the Rosh, that's when you put it on the Mizbeah. And in this case, you did that, but then you walked outside of the Azara and you put it on the Mizbeah outside of the Azara. What would be the din there? Is that considered to be Allah's chutz of a full kizayit, including the melach, or not? So Rava mi Barzikya, ask Ravashi, I don't get this. Isn't that the machlokas that we just had a minute ago about whether chibure oilin are koilin dami? Seems to me it's exactly the same. If something is being brought up because it's attached, like the case of the bone that we just talked about a minute ago, if you hold chibure from koilin, then you'd be chayim. And the same thing would be true over here. If you've got the salt, which is mechubar now to the meat, and that made it a kezayit, so then you would be hype. So absolutely not. This question can be asked completely independent, no matter what you hold about the din of chibure oilin when it comes to that bone and to see whether the bone is mashlim the eved to kezayit. It would be true that I would ask the question no matter what you hold, both for Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Let's say, according to Rabbi Yochanan, I would say, you know, Rabbi Yochanan said that a bone is considered to be part of the aver, and therefore it would be a kezayit. But that makes sense, doesn't it? Because, I mean, the bone is part of the aver. It's really a natural part of the aver, and it's mina de basaru. It's just that when it's separate, we don't view it as something that is roy on its own to be mala. Masha Inkain over here, I mean, salt can't possibly be viewed as an extension of the aver itself, can it? And therefore, maybe even Rabbi Yochanan would agree that over here, we do not say the Gavi rule for which Gavi was missing, which is Chibure Erchlin, and then you have these brackets, Lav, and then end brackets, Chibure Erlin, I mean, sorry, Chibure Erlin, either Lav or not, Ke'erlin Dami. That was a machlokas that we just had that you nearly missed. I'm not sure whether you have to say Hagomel afterwards in Beit HaKnesset, but maybe tomorrow. Anyway, so, but you can ask the same question, Reish Lakish, Dibar Reish Lakish. Ad kan lo kam Reish Lakish hatam. Ella, the only reason that Reish Lakish said over there that you cannot count on Etzem, I'm getting suspicious of Dr. Barry over here. He seems to be doing his disappearing act now. So, we only say that perhaps in the case of the bone, and that's because, look, if the bone were not connected, if it would not be chibureyon, and it would have been separated out, we wouldn't have bring it up to Mizbeah. But if we were inside, right? But over here, if the salt would fall off, we'd have to resalt it anyway and put it back on the Mizbeah with the salt, because lo tashbit melach brit elokecha. So therefore, maybe even Reish Lakish would agree that that would in fact be part of the kezayit. Odomaloshna. The question is how far this idea of being associated with the halal is mashlin in either of these cases. So it goes literally from one extreme to the other. Take. Okay. Now the next thing that we had was the part of the Mishnah in which the Chachamim taitna to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that what you're saying doesn't make any sense. Remember that Rabbi Yossi Aglili held that if you were shochet bifnim, and then you went ahead and took it b'chutz, so then it makes sense that you would be chayev on the ha'alah. But if you were shochet b'chutz, then it's already pasul for bifnim, in which case it's not kosher. It's not roi lepesach olamoid is the technical way of putting it. And something that's not roi lepesach olamoid is not going to be mechayev on halas chutz. To which the Chachomim responded, okay, but even if it was bifnim, the moment that you took it bachutz, it would be pasul anyway. So what's the difference? If the Torah is mechayev you on shkute chutz, it's by definition being mechayev you on a shkute chutz that you were male. Because any, I should say, halos chutz, on any halos chutz, even if it was shofet b'chutz, because it's always not roi by the time you're malet. So what's your point, is what they say to Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Now, Rabbi Yossi Aglili didn't explain to us why he feels that that's not a taina. So what is the answer? Now, we have a number of solutions to the question. Hey, Shiv Rebbe, Tachas Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So Rebbe says, let me give you an answer. How to understand Rabbi Yossi Aglili's pshat. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says like this. You cannot bring me a raya from a case where you shechted bifnim and then walked outside and brought it bachutz. Because, after all, in that circumstance, what's the din? It has a shas hakosher. So once something was raw, was it or was it not? Roy la pesach ha-moed? Yes. So what do I care if afterwards it becomes kosher? The Torah said, the pesach ha-moed lo ekrivo. Was this roy la pesach ha-moed? Yes. But if you shecht it b'chutz, it never had a shas hakosher, right? So how could you say that this was roy la pesach ha-moed? I don't understand what the argument is before. That's one approach. Now, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says, I'll give you another answer to what Rabbi Yosef Aglili would have said to the Chachamim. He would say, Eishim Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Tachas Rabbi Yosef Aglili, Mala Shochet Bifnimu Mala Bachut Shikin Kodesh Mekablo. It's a tremendous difference. In the case where you shechted something inside the Beis HaMikdash, and then it went out. So then what's the halacha? If you would have brought it back in and put it on the Mizbeach, the din is im ola lo yere, right? That's Yotze. Yotze is one of the things that is psulo bakodesh. Anything that's psulo bakodesh, im ola lo yere. So what kind of crazy comparison is it? In the case where I was motzi it in order to shecht it bachutz, it's still roy lifnim. In the ultimate sense, that if I had brought it bifnim and put it up, I wouldn't even take it down, right? Okay, Mashenkin, if I was shochet b'chutz, I mean, even if I put it up on the Mizbeach, I wouldn't be able to leave it there. I'd be mechuyev to be imolu yerdu. So obviously, it's totally different. So we've got two approaches here. In other words, one says it's totally in the din of shas hakosher, and then we have Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, who says it's totally in the question of imolu yered or imolu lo yered. Is there a difference between those two approaches and what Rabbi Yosef Aglili would have said? Oh, there is, there is. My binayu. Omer Rabbi Zera, well, let me give you an example. Take Shechitas Laila. Okay? You shechted a korban at night, and now you would bring it b'chutz. So, there's a big difference. Because if you're telling me that the entire svara is that it has to be something that had a shas hakosher, well, this never had a shas hakosher because as soon as I shechted it at night, I passled it. And therefore, it wouldn't be kosher. And according to him, there is no chiyav avi but Rabbi Yosef Aglili. Masha Inkin, according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, since the din is that shlitas laila im ola lo yered, so therefore, the din would be that if I brought it bachutz, I would be chayav. There you go. Such a tremendous nafkamina. Fantastic. Rabbi says, I had another nafkamina. Suppose you were mekabel the dam in a non-kli sharetz. So kabbalah b'kli chol, it could be naive. So therefore, according to Rebbe, if the point is that it has to have a shas hakosher, if you did the kabbalah wrong, it's not, there never was a shas hakosher. According to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, if the only criterion is whether im ola yered or not. So in this case, it's psuloi b'kodesh and im ola lo yered, and therefore you would be chayev b'chutz. So it's clear that understanding the machlokas of Rabbi Yosef Aglili and the Chachomim in different ways would lead to different actual halacha l'maisa, aliba Rabbi Yosef Aglili. Okay, next case that we had was what sounded on the surface very similar. The machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yosef Aglili. So the machlokas here was, if you recall, if someone was tomei betumas haguf and he ate, according to the Tanna Kamma, either kodesh that was tomei or kodesh that was tahar, it would still be chayev because he ate kachim betumas haguf. What's the difference? What the status of those kachim were? Masha Inkin, Rabbi Yosef Aglili says, if he's tummy and he eats tahar, yes, then he's chayef. But if he eats tummy, what's the difference? If the thing is tummy anyway, it wasn't right to be eaten and it was also to be eaten. So what's the difference if he eats it betumas haguf? It's exactly, it sounds very similar to this argument. And so does the response of the Chachamim to Rabbi Yosef Aglili sound very similar to their argument here. And they say, look, what's the difference? I mean, if he eats the tahar If the person who's tamei eats the thing that is tahor, when he touches it to eat it and put it in his mouth, he's going to make it tamei. Does that change anything? No. So what's the difference if it became tamei from something else that wasn't his touch? I mean, the Torah said that a tahor that eats kachem is chayev. What do I care whether he was the one that made it tamei or a sheretz that fell on it made it tamei? What's the difference? And therefore, we need to look into now what was the meaning of Rabbi Yossi. I mean, I understand how the Chachomim makes sense, but what would Rabbi Yossi Aglili say in this case? Shapir Kamer Le Rabbanan Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Isn't that a good point? Now, Omar Rava, no, it's a ridiculous point. And the reason it's a ridiculous point is we need to understand it was only a very surface similarity between the two, the Reisha and the Seifa, that misled us into taking this in an oversimplistic fashion. The real question over here between Rabbi Yossi HaGlili and the Chachomim, as Rav is about to explain, revolves around another Gavi concept called Ein Iser Chal Al Iser in a case of Iser Kolel. So let's just remember what Iser Kolel means. When someone becomes usher with something that now expands the things that are usher to him because of this new iser. That expansion is called, it's kolel. It expands to include other things in the iser. And that is considered to be, even in a case of ein iser chalal iser, it makes sense that in that case, we would have an iser chalal iser because it's adding all these other things. And that's called a migo. So Migo, since it already adds all these other things to be Aser, so now it's going to be even adding an Iser on the thing that was originally Aser. Applied to this case, what does that mean? Well, the guy was Tahar, say, right? And this piece of meat was Tame. And now the person who was previously Tahar becomes Tame. Oh, now when he becomes tummy, it's not only this piece of meat that's also for him. It's every piece of kachim in the world that's also for him. So he's now added 3,000,000% to his original iser because it's broader. So that's the question. Does a broader iser, which is called the iser kola, does it therefore apply even to the original item, which would have been also anyway? Even though normally ain't Isser Chalal Isser, but once we're going to apply this broader Isser, it's going to apply across the board or not. That's the question over here, says Rava. And therefore, it all follows the shitas of Rabbi Yossi HaGlili and the Rabban and elsewhere. Rabbi Yossi HaGlili holds that we don't say, we say ain't Isser Chalal Isser. We do not say Isser Kolel. So once this guy was, once this meat was tamei, it can't become more Usser because the person is tummy. This really has absolutely nothing to do with the machlokas that we had a moment ago in the Reisha of the Mishnah, which was involved all sorts of different inyanim of what is considered to be royal Pesach HaMoed. And therefore, says Rava, you need to understand the case because the case has to be a case that involves the question of Ein Iser Chalal Iser. So here's what we're talking about. In the event that the person became tamei betumas aguf first, and then v'acharkach nitmapas, and then the meat became tamei. So in that case, everybody would agree, Rav Yossi HaGlili would agree that of course you're going to be chayav for eating this basar, even though it's tamei, because you already had which iser on this basar? The iser of a tamei person eating kodesh. And that iser of a tamei person eating kodesh is an iser koras. So now you're going to say, oh, but now it became usser to eat to anyone? So what? That's going to make it less usser? That has no impact at all. So everybody agrees to that because over there, the tumas haguf, which was chal initially, is a chiev of karet. And it doesn't change just because there was another iser that was chal on it. Or it wouldn't matter if it were or weren't. To keep pleading, the machlokas is the other way around. First, the basar was usser, which meant that nobody was allowed to eat it. He comes along, and he suddenly becomes tummy. Now, there's a lot of new things that are now usser on him. right? So this is a much broader Isser. That's called the Nigel of Isser Kolel. And therefore, the Rabbanan hold, well, we say that Nigel, since the Chalos of the new Chiyah includes another 1,000 pieces of meat, this piece of meat is affected by it as well. And therefore, it is also going to be Usr because of this Isr. Therefore, it's going to be Chal because they hold of that Migu. As Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, we do not say the Migu of Isr Kolel. And if it's just before it was Usr and it's only going to remain Usr now, then Ein Isr Chal al Isr. Now, there's a big problem with this. I'll tell you what the problem is, says the Gemara. It's true that Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and he spells this out in Masechet Chulin, Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds that Ein Isr Chal al Isr be Isr Kolel. But if it's an Isr Kolel, where the second Isr also adds a Chumra to this Isr, oh, then even Rabbi Yossi Aglili is Moda. And that is called Isr Chamur. When you put together both the Isr Kolel and the Isr Chamur, the Gemara said there that Rabbi Yossi Aglili is Moda. Now, that's exactly what you have in this case. The meat was tummy. What are you going to be over if you eat it? A lav. Is there a chiyuv karis on basar tummy? No, the chiyuv karis is only on tumas haguf. Now, when this person subsequently becomes tummy to tumas haguf, so first of all, another 1,000 pieces become asr. Anything which is kodesh becomes asr to him, and there's a migu. Well, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that's an older migu, because how did the migu affect this piece? Ah, but in this case, the migu does affect this piece. And that's because it's adding the isr karis. Because if it were only the isr lav of tumas basar, then you would not have this chumrah. Now that you have the migu, and you're saying, okay, but what difference does the migu make to me? Makes a big difference. It is going to add an isr chumrah. So in this case, even Rabbi Yossi Aglili, it's true, nihi de migu lo amrin, and he doesn't say straight out that just because something is more broad, it's going to be chal. But in this case, it's not only more broad, it's more chomor. So tesi tumat haguf de chamira because of the chi of kares, the tachul al tumat basar. Omer Ravashi, well, when you're analyzing, if something is chomor, Richie, we love the exciting sounds of the coffee, the smell of the coffee. It's coming right through. But maybe if you put the no smells and the no sounds thing, I think it's called mute. Thank you.
He was hinting that Rabbi should drink. He was hinting loudly.
Maybe he was offering me a drink. Maybe. Why do you?
Rabbi can't have coffee.
Coffee? Richie doesn't drink coffee. Richie drinks that old-fashioned British drink, you know, chicory. Ravashi has a rather startling response to this. Ravashi says, what makes you think that Tumas Aguf is Chomor? Just because it's a Chi of Karis? I mean, you have to take a look at the overall din to decide if it's Chomor, and remember that, in a sense, Tumas Basar has a larger Chumrah than the Tumas Haguf. Why? Because if someone is Tameh B'Tumas Haguf, all he needs to go is to the mikveh. He goes to the mikveh, comes out of the mikveh, and then that night he's able to eat this piece of meat. But if the piece of meat is Tameh, and you put the piece of meat in the mikveh, it's not going to make the slightest bit of difference, and it's still going to be Tameh. So in that sense, Tumas Basar is more Chumrah. So you can't be certain that this is one of the cases that Rabbi Yossi Aglili would say is both an Isr Chomor, because it's not really Chomor if you put it on the bottom line. So maybe that's not called Chomor. Amazing. Which brings us to the interruption from that delicious chicory drink in which Sir Richard is ready to lead us on.
Zut the Halek Mishnah.
I suppose for early in the morning, it's good enough. Okay, now that we've got our dinim of Shechita B'chutz and Halah B'chutz clear, just to point out that there is one very significant difference. And normally, we learn out the dinim of Shechita from the dinim of Halah and vice versa, but there are two issues in which we have very different bottom lines in the din of Shechita B'chutz and the din of Halah B'chutz. And before we complete the sugya here, the Mishnah wants to tell us what those two things are, because in a way, especially if we're talking about chumras here, let me point out to you, says the Mishnah, that in one way, Shechita B'chutz is more chumra to Halah B'chutz. And there's also in one way that Halah B'chutz is more chumra than Shechita B'chutz, which is rather surprising because until now, we've been comparing the two, really, that whatever is shayach to one is shayach to the other. So let the Mishnah explain. Chomer b'shchita, this is all going to be based on psukim, as we will see in the diukim and the psukim. Shchita is more chomer, because if you shechted a kachim b'chutz, and you shechted it not for purposes of worship, at least not of worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you shechted it for a friend. So a friend comes along, you've got this carbon, my marvelous friend, I bring you this carbon, and I shecht the carbon to him. Now Rashi learns it means literally worship, and therefore he may be b'chayef for Avodah Zarah, but he wouldn't be b'chayef for Shvatei Chutz, and the difference would be if he was a mezid on the Avodah Zarah, and he was a shogeg for the Shechita B'chutz, he wouldn't be chayav because this is not called Shechita B'chutz. Okay. Tosfos says, look, I mean, when you shecht to a friend, it doesn't mean you're worshiping him. I mean, maybe his kavana is to give him a lot of kavod, but not worship. So, okay. So, okay. But in any event, if you bring a carbon to somebody, then it makes no difference because the point of Shechita B'chutz is that you shechted a carbon not for its purpose of worship or not, because that's irrelevant. It's the fact of shechita in the wrong place. Now, when it comes to halah, the whole point of halah is worship. I mean, that's what halah means. I'm bringing this to you, O Lord. So in that case, if you would bring it to your friend, and again, according to Rashi, that means in a worshipful way, so then, if you're malala had yet, you would be putter, as I explained before, meaning that you are putter from the din of halah's chutz. He's not talking about the din of avodah zarah. Whereas again, according to Tosfos, you know, this, it doesn't mean that you haven't kavana to do this as an aveda. You're just being mechabed him and presenting this to him. So what that means is that the point of the Shechita is the act of Shechita B'chutz. The point of Halah is the worship. That's what makes it the Halah. And the other way, there's also a Chumra in Halah. Because if you have two people that are holding a Shechita knife, one on one end and one on the other, and they do the Shechita together, they would be putter, as we'll see from the pasuk. But if two people grab the aver of the animal and bring it up to a mizbeach b'chutz, then they would be chayiv. Now, all of this we're going to learn out of Sirkim in a moment. There's also a fascinating machlokas. Again, this machlokas makes no sense at all on the surface. And that is, if someone was ma'alan, then he forgot you're not allowed to be mala. And then he was mala again. And he forgot that you're going to be mala. He was mala again. You would be chayiv on every separate one, just like on every issur in the Torah. If there's a yediya, the yediya is mechalik, and each act is going to be mechayiv you, right? So says Rabbi Shimon. And unbelievably, Rabbi Yossi says, no, that's not true. You would only be chayiv once, no matter how many times you did the halah. Now, that doesn't make any sense at all. And it's going to turn out in the Gemara that what it means is that according to Reb Yossi, the only chiyuv of halah is for bringing up the whole thing anyway. So therefore, even if you do it in 10 different stages, you're only chayav for the total halah. That's the point. It's not because for some reason the idea is not machalic. Of course the idea would be machalic. Another fascinating halacha is that eno chayav achiyala l'rosh ha-mizbeach. Reb Yossi holds that you'd be chayav if you build a mizbeach outside and you put it on the mizbeach. But if you just go ahead and you bring it up on some kind of rock or something, then you would not be chayav, because that is not the same act of ha'alah. Whereas Rabbi Shimon, he says, what's the difference? Even if you bring it up on a stone or on a rock, it makes no difference. You would still be chayav. There's no din of requiring a mizbeach b'chutz. And we'll see that the machlokas over here is based on the history of bringing korbanos in the world and what constitutes a proper bringing a korban. Okay, so now let's take a look at each one of these things. First thing that we said was, if someone is mala to a friend, he would be potter, but if he shechs to a friend, he would be chayev. Now, why is that? Masha mala lahedit patur. I'm assuming that the reason is very simple. It says, "Vel petach omoi lo yevi enu lasoto to lahashem." So then, v'nichrata. Okay, so it means only lahashem, but it says exactly the same pasuk when it comes to shechita, and it says, "Vel petach omoi lo yevi enu lakriv korban lahashem." Same words. Understand. So if when it comes to the din of halah, we understand that the La Hashem is ma'akev, and if you're not bringing it La Hashem, that's not called halah. So too, if you're shochet it, and you don't do it La Hashem, why is it any different? You should be putter on a shechita la'edit as well. Ah, because there, it's different. Because binogea shechita, remember how the pasuk begins. The whole lashon of the pasuk is Ish Ish mi Beit Israel Asher Yishchat Shor Chesiv Oez b'machaneh. What's that Ish Ish telling me? Ish Ish is a riboy, that even if one Ish does a shrita for another Ish, he would still be chayev. Ha! There, you can't argue with that, can you? And no. I can't argue with that. But the problem is that it says exactly the same language when it comes to Allah. Aleyem tomar, ish, ish, mi beit Yisrael. It's the same exact lashon. Asher yale olam hazavach. So if ish, ish works for shechita to mean an ish for another ish, why doesn't ish, ish work for halah of bringing up from one ish to another ish? Ah, but that's because that ish, ish, I need to tell me that even if you've got two ishes, ish, ish, asher yales, you got two people, and they are holding on together to this aver, and they put it onto that mizbeach b'chutz, that they would both be chayav. That was the marker of the Mishnah that said, shnayim, that are helu be'aver, are chayavim. So you can't use it to tell me that you're chayav for shechting, for bringing it up to another guy. I don't understand you. So if that's what it means for halah, then why does it mean the same thing for shechita? That you got two people that are shechting. I mean, this is crazy. You got exactly the same words, and you're arbitrarily, you're telling me, well, here it means this, and there it means that. I mean, if ish ish means two people can do it, then ish ish means two people can do shechita. Why does it only mean ish ish for halah? And if ish ish means a man to another man, and he would be chayiv in shechita, so then ish ish should mean a man who's mala to another man should be chayiv in halah. How do you like arbitrarily define one ish ish this way and one ish ish that way? Well, that's different. Because in the case of shechita, where you're claiming what I should use ish ish, to tell me not that one man who shechs for another man, but rather one man who shechs for the We shouldn't say that it's to tell me that, love is right. Sorry. We shouldn't use it to tell me that if you shech for another man, we should use it that two people together should be chayiv, right? But it can't mean that. I'll tell you why. Because by shechita, it says beferish ha-hu. So you'll notice, this is what we think it means right now, that when it says dam yechashev la'ish ha-hu, it's referring to the next piece. V'nichrat ha-ish ha-hu mikerav amo. So what's v'nichrat ha-ish ha-hu? That single person. That's where you're saying ish ha-hu. So if the Torah is telling me that only if it's one guy, then he's going to be chayiv. But if there's two guys that are involved in the act of Shvita, he's not going to be chayiv. So obviously, why does it say ish ish? It could only mean one person who does it for another person. Right? So that's ahu. And ahu is Lashon Yachid and Echad V'Loshnayim. You're doing it again. It says exactly the same word by Allah. It says the same word. I don't understand what you're. Are you doing this on purpose? Just to drive me crazy? Every pasuk that you say, you have the same exact words. El petach omod lo yavienu, la soto to la shem, v'nichra ta'ishahu. There you go. I wasn't talking about v'nichra ta'ishahu. Of course it says that. I understand that it says that. But that is something else. This, the case over there, is that ha'ishahu, I need to tell me that the person needs to be fully involved. The man, ha'ishahu, fully involved means that his brain is engaged. You get that, Rich? His brain is engaged, that he knows what he's talking about. He's not a shogeg. He doesn't have somebody in control of his mind who's explaining to him why this is what it should be. That means lemute onu, somebody's forcing him to do something, or he's a shogeg, or he's mut'e, he's been taught wrong, or maybe it's an omer mutter. But you can't use that ish to tell me the other din of ish that he requires to be acting alone. Okay, that's great. So why don't we need that here too? In the case of the shrita, lemute onu shogeg v'muta. You do need it. The point is that there were two separate ahus. When it came to the din of shchitas chutz, the word ahu occurs twice. Dam yechashev le'ish ahu, dam shafach, v'nichrat ha'ish ahu mikerav amo. So, of course, the same ish ahu that appears in the chorus of shchita appears in the chorus of halah, and indeed tells me the same halacha, that you need the person who's completely engaged. But the second one tells me that the act needs to be achieved by a loner, a ishahu, and that if two people are involved in the act of shrita, then they're not chayev, because treyahu ksivei. Okay, so now, if that's the case, you're telling me that if you said, ish, ish. We started at the beginning. Ish, ish. So it wouldn't have been for ish, ish. So then the din would be that since it says la shem by shvita, it would mean the same thing that it means by halah. Only if you're shech for Hashem and not if you're shech for another person, right? But now we have a pasuk that says ish, ish. And the ish, ish tells me even one man who shechs for another man. That's now we've managed to show that ha'ish ha'hu, now that we understand that there's two ha'ish ha'hus working back up the cascade, we remember that the only reason that we're saying that one man can shech for another man and still be chayev for shvut echud, so then why does it say la'ashem? Because it isn't true. It doesn't have to be la'ashem. So ela la'ashem lomali, why then did it say that he didn't bring it, he didn't shecht it l'ashem? Ah, that's there to teach me that the carbon that you shechted has to be a carbon l'ashem, not that you're shechting it l'ashem. But let's say you took the sa'ira mishtaleach, and you shechted the sa'ira mishtaleach, you shechted it b'chutz. you would not be chayiv. Why? Because the Tzora Mishtaleach is not brought l'Hashem. And therefore, if it isn't being brought l'Hashem, it's bichlal not a din in shkut echutz. That has nothing to do with what your kavana is. It has to do with what the thing is that you're shachting, you see? That's something else. Okay, so now we understand why it is that shechting for another person is included and you would still be chayim, whereas two people that act together are pater because it's a ish ahu as a yachid. Now let's talk about the next part, which has the opposite din when it comes to Allah. So there the Mishnah says, chomer ba'Allah, that if two people actually would hold an Ever Echon Bimalayu, they would be chai. How do we know that? Tana Rabbana, Ish Ish. Why, when it says the din of Ha'Allah, it says Va'aleim Tomar Ish Ish Asher Ya'aleh. Why does it say Ish Ish? That's to tell me that even if two people are holding it, L'Rabot Shnayim Shachazu Be'Ever Ve'Allah, that they would be chayim. Because if it wouldn't have said ish ish, I would have said, look, I can learn out from the din of Shechita that that would not be true. Because, I mean, it's a kal v'chomer. If in the din of Shechita, where over there the Torah is very machmir, and you'd be chayiv if you shechted to another guy, but if two people hold the knife, you're potter. So Hamala, we're over there. If you bring it up to another guy, you're potter. So for sure, if you have two people who lift up the Aver, should for sure be potter, no? That's why the Torah specifies in Halah, ish, ish, to tell me, if you bring it up together, you are chayev, Devrei Rebbe Shimon. So that would explain why we have the special din by Halah, as opposed to the ish ish that we utilized by the case of Shechita, because the extra ish ahu meant it couldn't be two people together, and therefore it had to mean one person checks for another person. So basically these two halachas are interrelated in terms of how the pasuk is formulated, you see. So adding that ish ahu the second time to zvicha gives me completely different results about how to understand the entire parsha when it comes to Shechita and what Shechita b'chutz means, as opposed to what the same words mean by Ha'alah and what Ha'alah b'chutz means. Is the significance of this getting across to you people behind your squiggles? Assuming there are people behind squiggles. Ori, does this make sense to you? All right. I don't know. Sometimes I feel the only one I'm talking to is Ori. It's a bit limited. Yeah. There I was explaining entropy to my 7-year-old grandchild. But some of it gets in. Absolutely.
It's interesting. The grasping at straws is the opposite of Deicha Bekash, right?
Yes, I definitely am grasping at straws. All right, so now if some of you will come back so I can see your wonderful faces and recognize the signs of intelligent glints in eyes. You just look at me, you look at Richie and you feel this is all worth it. 25 years of Daf Yomi, every minute of it has been a joy. Okay. How long have you been around in the Daf Yomi? Has it been 25 years yet?
I think I'm on my third cycle.
Yeah. Okay.
14, 21, maybe even on the fourth cycle. Who's counting, Rabbi? Who's counting?
Where are the little Shanklers? We miss them.
They're in school.
School?
What they got those long days now.
They could be learning something.
Yeah, tell me about it.
I think Richie's on the list.
All right. So do you realize how beautiful this is? It's an amazing thing to see. You have two completely side by side, juxtapose them. They look exactly the same. Valei and Tomar, ish, ish, both of them, right? And it's all v'nichras ha'ishahu, the same l'shonas lo yivienu. But I mean, and they mean totally different things. Why? Because you've got an additional ishahu in the shkita that doesn't apply in the zvicha, which opens up your mind to understanding that they are two totally different types of isurim. That shkita b'chutz is the violation of not doing it in the right place, whereas halah b'chutz is the isur of bringing it up in the wrong place. It's just amazing that one word can do that. I'm shocked that nobody is shocked here. That's stunning. Okay. Maybe I should wear one of these scary masks. At least they might take me seriously. Okay. I think there is actually a way, right, that I could do that. I mean, it's true. It's only on Zoom, but there are definitely ways that I could do it. If only I could recapture my cursor, but since my iPad insists on capturing my cursor, I don't have much to say. Okay. Man, man. So this is the beautiful way that Rabbi Shimon understands the entire question. Now, Rabbi Yossi says that the din of Hahu, in this case, tells me that it's only one person who brings it, and not two people who lift up that aver together. Im kein mata melomer ish ish. Ish ish doesn't mean anything. Ish ish is just dibra Torah k'lashon b'nei Adam. The way that people use the word ish ish is what? It's just the way of saying anyone, right, in Hebrew. So, okay, so ish ish means anyone. Does that tell you anything in particular? But it's still, it's just the ish, ish. Okay? Fair enough. Let's see now. I'm not sure that I could scare them. Doesn't seem to be anything very scary here. Nope. Nothing at all. Nope. That's not very scary, at the least. Okay, we'll have to give up on that.
The Rebbe can outfox Rich.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Okay. So now, how does Rebbe Shimon deal with the Pasuk of Hahu? Well, we know. We've already seen how he deals with the Pasuk of Hahu. Hahu. So he explained that before when we're dealing with the first Ahu. And Rabbi Yossi, how does he know Lemu'ute? And Tosis explains that there is actual meaning even to this Lemu'ute. Because, I mean, you'd think, well, I mean, it's a general halacha, isn't it, all over the Torah that an onus, I mean, why do we need to tell me that you're not chayev kores? You're chayev anyway. You're chayev on a korban. So how would I think you're chayev on kores? So Tosfos says, because if it wouldn't be for this pasuk, I would have thought that if you don't bring a korban, the kores remains. In other words, the fact that you're chayev a korban doesn't mean that you're not chayev kores if you don't bring the korban. So the Torah wants to bring out that, no, if you're in this situation, you're not chayev kores. The bringing of the chatas is not what makes it that you're not chayev kares. Okay, so there, he's using that hahu. He's using that to tell me that halacha. And it doesn't bother me that I can actually have learned that from the hahu, says Rabbi Yossi, because I can say, why didn't it say ha-ish hu? Instead, it says hahu. And that extra word, hahu, comes to tell me that it has to be the man, totally present, knows exactly what he's doing. And it also means who, that he's only a loner and he can't do it together with somebody else. And Rabbi Shimon, as we've seen in so many places, is not dorish, the difference between who and hahu. But now we've got a problem. If Rabbi Yossi wants to say ish ish is dibra Torah k'lashon b'nei Adam, so then this is nogea ha'alah. We should say the same thing b'nogea shchita, that ish ish is dibra Torah k'lashon b'nei Adam. So how does Rabbi Yossi know that if you do shechita to another person and you want him to have a nice piece of meat, how would you know that you'd be chayev? You're right. Rabbi Yossi has a different mokor for that. He learns that from dam yechashev le'ishahu, dam shafach. So the idea over here is that the idea of la'ish, because otherwise why do you need to tell me? La'ish is to tell me that it's dam yechashev, even if it was done la'ish, for another person. Okay, now let's take a look at the next piece of the mission. He'ela, v'chazar v'he'ela, weird that somehow Rabbi Yossi says, well, you only have one chatas, even though you did it in different stages, and even though you had a yediyah in between one or the other. I mean, like, what is the sense in that? Whoever heard of such a thing? So, Reish Lakish explains, we actually are going to have a number of different possible explanations depending on what the issue is. One thing is for sure. Any explanation is going to tell me that the problem is not in whether Yediyas is Bechalkas, obviously. What it's telling, Gavi, you're stuck. Get us back. Turn your camera off and on. So what it's talking about is that according to Rabbi Yossi, it's all considered to be one halah because it's the minimum shear of the halah. Now the question is, what is the minimum shear of halah? That's the question. So, says Reish Lakish, the machlokis is where you had one carbon and it was cut into four or five different pieces, and you made these four or five different pieces, each one of them was a separate halah. Rabbi Yossi says, only at the end, where you got them all up, that was the act of halah. Therefore, you're chayev. Now, since it says in the pasuk, ve'alpetach ohel moed lo yivienu lasot oto. Oto means it as a unit. So if you didn't bring the whole unit, what's the whole unit, according to Rabbi Yossi? The whole unit is the entire animal. And therefore, that's what Rabbi Yossi is saying. When you finish bringing the entire animal, then you'd be chayev. Whereas the Tanakhama holds no. So Marashav Rabbi Yossi holds the meaning of la'asoto to as a whole thing, al ha'sholem hu chayav, ve'inu chayav al ha'chaser, is referring to the entire animal. Oto, that animal is a unit. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says, no, oto means an entire piece of the animal, an aver sholem. And therefore, each one of these avarim that you would bring up, you would be chayav on separately. That's the Tanakhama. But, I mean, if all you were bringing up would be one aver, and you bring up that aver in pieces, then even if that aver is the last of all of the avarim, according to Rabbi Yossi, you would only be chayev one, because there for sure you're only chayev when you complete the halah. Okay, that's one approach. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, that isn't the approach. The machlokas is where you're bringing up one aver. That's where we were talking about. Because both of us agree, both Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon agree, that when it says oto, it doesn't mean the whole animal. It means oto, the whole aver. So if you bring up four or five separate avarim, of course you'd be chayiv because you have a yediyah b'neihem, and each one is a completely different ha'alot. So what are they arguing about? Where you had one aver that was shechted bifnim, and then you brought it up b'chutz in pieces. That's the machlokas. And I'll tell you what it's based on. Rabbi Shimon holds that if you have an aver that was chaser bifnim, in that case, if you bring it up b'chutz, you're chayev. Why would you be chayev? Because since the oto, it's true that when it says oto, oto means it has to be the whole thing. But that's only b'chutz. Suppose you had something that was partially burned on the mizbeach bifnim. What would be the din? If it fell off of the mizbeach, you'd have to put it back on again, right? So there's a big difference between a something that was shechted bifnim, was put on the mizbeach, and now it's chaser. Now I bring it b'chutz. Well, I mean, in that case, it's Mukhtarei Pnim that were chaser. Then if you bring them on Pachutz, in that case, you'd be chayev, because remember, inside it's considered to be very chashev, and I would pick it up and I would put it back onto the Mizbeach because of poking. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon says, Ein Afinami, it says Oto, but that's only referring to Mukhtarei Chutz. But if it was Mukhtarei Pnim, which were on the Mizbeach, then for sure it would mean, even if it's chaser, you would be chay. Whereas Rabbi Yossi holds, no. In that case, even though it's Mukhtarei Pnim, you would be potter, because even though there's poking, remember Rabbi Yishmael said before, V'alpetach ha'omoid lo yevienu. Lo yevienu means it has to be shalim. So we have two psukim. We have oto, and then we have the lo yevienu. And that means that one comes to tell me, even if it's chaser bifnim, it would still not be b'chay of you. So there, it's a completely different machlokas, according to Rabbi Yochanan, whether the oto was only a reference to bachutz, or whether lo yevienu is even a machlokas bifnim. That's Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yos. Now, we have yet another approach, and that is Ula's. Rabbi Yochanan is clearly arguing on Ula, because Ula said, actually, both Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi were made that if you are Bifnim, and these are Mukhtarei Bifnim, and they were Chosru, and because of that, in terms of poking, you would be Mechayev them to put it back up on the Mizbeah. If instead you take it out and you bring it out Bechutz, the hello Bechutz, for sure you would be Chayev. Nobody would argue about that, because they are Roy for the Mizbeach as poking. The only machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon is the case of Mukhtarei Chutz, not like Rabbi Yochanan said. Dafka, where it's Bechutz, and there it became Chasim. Rabbi Yossi holds, so then you're not Chayev, because it's not included in Oto. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says that this Oto means only if it's Pachas B'Kizai is not. Oto, it has to be a Haktarah that Shlema, but it doesn't have to be an animal that Shalim, and it doesn't even have to be an Eidra that Shalim. It just has to be a Kizai. So Marasav Rabbi Yossi holds that you would be Potter, and Rabbi Shimon holds your Chayef because it's still Oto. That's one approach to Ula. Now, there's another approach in which Ula said, actually, everybody's made that b'muktarei chutz chasru v'hello b'chutz, that he's potter, like Rabbi Yochanan said. Lo nechlekeu ela b'muktarei pnim shechasru v'hello b'chutz, where Mar Sava, according to Rabbi Yossi, you're not chayev even if it was chasr b'fnim, whereas Rabbi Shimon holds, if it was chasr b'fnim, then you would be chayev. So that means that this would be exactly what Rabbi Yochanan had said, that we're talking about Mukhtarei Pnim, which were chaser, but the machlokas is whether or not Oto would apply. Okay, so that would be how Ulo learned, which was just repeating Rabbi Yochanan. But the thing is that we have Avua de Shmuel, and he argues, going back to the original way we understood Ula as not saying like Rabbi Yochanan. So then that first Lashon is different. Pliga de Avua de Shmuel. Avua de Shmuel disagrees with the way that Shmuel said his first Lashon. Because Avua de Shmuel said, according to which Mandiyomar do we put poking back on the Mizbeah? I'll tell you one thing. It sure as heck can't be going according to Rabbi Yossi. So that means Avuah de Shmuel understands that Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon argue about whether poking. That's the point. Not whether Oto comes to be telling me that even poking would, despite the fact that they would be putting the poking back. They're arguing about whether poking go back. So if it's the local Rabbi Yossi, then that means Ula didn't say that, because what Ula said was is that Rabbi Yossi would be made of that if poking or chosrin, so then for sure they would be put on the Mizbeach, he would be chayev. So that means that he is obviously disagreeing with the way that Ula understood it. Man, I know that this is complicated. I feel really bad about trying to push this all into... let me tell you what I think we should do. We should do just the beautiful, simple ending of the sugya here so that we cover the daf. And then tomorrow I'll go over in more precise detail what the four different shitas are here in what the machlokas Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon are about. Are we talking about bafutz? Are we talking about bifnim? Is the machlokas about whether poking, or is the machlokas about where we apply oto, or is the machlokas about whether we actually hold like Rabbi Shmuel's previous drasha of El Petach Ol Moed Lo Yevienu in addition to the oto? I'm just reminding you what the things are. You have a chance to review. I know that this was difficult. The next piece is very straightforward, won't take us much time. So if you don't mind, let's do that, and we'll finish off with something that's a lot of fun and brings us to the historical understanding of the Inyan of Bomais. And then tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, will do the detail of the tough stuff while minds are fresh. Okay, so the next thing we learned was that Rabbi Yossi was saying, you would not be chayev unless you actually built yourself a mizbeach outside of the Azara, and you were makriv on the mizbeach. But Rabbi Shimon says, no, it doesn't matter. You can put it on a rock somewhere and bring it up. You don't need a mizbeach to be chayev on halas chutz. Omer Avuna, where does Rabbi Yossi get the idea that the definition of ha'alah is to bring it up on a mizbeach? Why isn't it just to bring it up? Well, he learns it out of Noach, because when Noach comes out of the Teva, he's got a lot of things on his mind, you know. I mean, repopulating a world, rebuilding everything, it's a lot of stuff. I mean, this is a survivor, you know. Got to take out all of his survivor booklets and take out all of the things. I mean, the first thing he does is he builds him his Beach. I mean, I understand wanting to thank the good Lord and recognizing that he's got all of these extra animals to bring his karbanas. But what does he need to build a mizbeach for? I mean, he could have just offered them as were on the ground, right? So since it says, Vayiven Noach mizbeach l'Hashem, obviously that was an absolute necessity in order to be properly maybe karbanas. So he built a mizbeach. That shows that even on a boma, the concept of haktara is on a mizbeach. That's the reason. And why does Rabbi Shina argue? Om Rabbi Yochanan, my time of the Rabbi Shimon. Well, it says, Vayikach Manoach et Gedini Ha'izim ve'et Amincha v'yala latsur. So we finish your posse. So here's Manoach. He wants to bring a nice meal to the Malach, whom he thinks is a Navi. And the Malach says to him, look, if you're going to do it, bring it to the Lord. Don't bring it to me. So he brings it to the Lord. How does he bring it to the Lord? I don't know. He puts it on a rock, you know? And he goes ahead and he brings it without building any kind of mizbeach. So obviously, you do not need a mizbeach to bring things to the Lord. That's a problem. So according to Rabbi Shimon, why indeed did Noach build a mizbeach? Hey, says Rabbi Shimon, do you realize how many korbanos Noach has to bring? Analyze the number of different species that he had that were kosher, and that he had the extra of each one that were the extra that he understood were only there for karbanas, because otherwise we could have done just with male, female for reproduction. And man, think of the crick in his back if he had to bend down and do this on a rock. So therefore he built up a mizbeach so that it wouldn't kill him. That's all. And he was just building it as a gova b'alma. He was just making it nice so it should be at a level that he wouldn't bust his back on. That's all. What makes you think it has something to do with the akrova? And what about Rabbi Yossi? How does Rabbi Yossi understand the fact that if it's so important to build a mizbeach, then how did Manoach get away with murder and just put it onto a tzur? Ah, come on, says Rabbi Yossi. It was usher to bring a carbon at the time of Manoach. It was Shiloh was around. How did Manoach bring a carbon at all? Because the Navi or the Malach told him to do it. That's called the Hora'at Sha'ah. So the fact that the Malach said, just do it right over here, is the same Hurah Shah. What do you want? It was a violation of norms, which is called Hurah Shah. And you can't learn out from it. Hurah Shah Haita. Or, you know what? I could tell you a whole different reason for Rabbi Shimon. Ibai Seima, what Rabbi Shimon really learned it out, is from the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Beferish, the lashon of the Zarak HaKohen et Adam al Mizbach Hashem Petach Ohel Moed. And what do you want to stress that for? To tell me, where does a Mizbeach belong? Petach Ohel Moed. But if you're not the Petach Ohel Moed, and it's the time in which it's mutter to be makriv on Obama, you don't need a Mizbeach. Mizbeach bePetach Ohel Moed. But there's no Mizbeach on Obama. And therefore, if you would be makriv a korban on a bama that was just a sela or an evan, then you would be chayiv. Chayiv? What the heck are you talking about? You mean you would be yotze? Why don't you say you would be yotze? Yotze me boiling. I mean, since if it was a time of hetera bamas, you would be yotze. Therefore, if it's b'shas isra bamas, you'd be chayiv. You're supposed to fill that in with your own brains, you know. Okay, now, when you say, Rabbi Yosef, it has to be a Mizbeach, what defines a Mizbeach? I mean, when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, we got very strict definitions. The Mizbeach, it has to be perfectly square. The Mizbeach has to have these kronot on them, right? The Mizbeach has to have a kevesh leading up to the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach has to have that be sticking out as he is sowed. I mean, does a bama need all of that if you hold that it has to be a mizbeach? Maoshiakfu bivama. Amar le Reb Yirmiya, it's a braita. The din of the keren, that you need the four kranot, you need a kevesh, it needs to be square, it needs to have a yesod. That is an absolute necessity, but only on the bama gedela. The bama gedela is the places where you're going to bring karbonis for the tzibor that you're not allowed to bring on a bama katana. So let's say you're in Nov or you're in Givon. That mizbeach definitely needed that same shape as in the Beis HaMikdash. And of course, Mishkan Shiloh was for sure. I mean, that's like in the dinam and the mizbeach and the Mishkan. So a Mishkan, Mikdash, or even a bama tzibor requires Karen, Kevesh, Ribua, Yesod. But if you're building a Bama Kitana on your roof, then you just need to make a building. By the way, this, I meant to, I had Mamshah this written down to include in yesterday's shir, that the whole point of a Mizbeach is that you have to build it. If you build it, he will come. But if you don't build it, then there's nothing. We ended up with five different shitas, essentially, in how to understand the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi that we had in our Mishnah about, do you bring a separate korban chatas for each one of the acts of akravas chutz that you do b'chutz? So we said, obviously, there is no machlokas anywhere in Shas about whether the separate action with a ha'aloma each time you forgot, and you went ahead and did it again, those are always considered to be separate acts, each one of which is mechayev achatas, and therefore Rabbi Yossi cannot be arguing about that. So what then is he arguing about? So for that, we had five different shitas. And in order to understand them, we have to remember that we have two psukim that indicate that you're only chayev if you bring a complete korban b'chutz. But the question is, what is a complete korban? We had Rabbi Yishmael's pasuk about lo yevienu, which is to bring the whole thing. And then we had the pasuk of Yakriv Oto, which means essentially the same thing, to bring the whole thing. Now, the whole thing can mean a lot of different things. The whole thing can mean the entire animal. The whole thing can mean an entire portion of the animal that is a Dover Shalom in itself, namely one aver of the animal. But a whole thing could also mean sufficient to be considered a shiur of haktara bifnim. And that shiur is always one kizayit. So maybe it means a kizayit. So now the question, of course, of what the machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon is, revolves around that question, because all that Rabbi Yossi could mean is that if you brought up the entire minimum level of Haktorah in different pieces, when you finally finish all of them, you're chayev, but you're only chayev one, you're not chayev for each one. So for that, we had variations. So we started with the machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish about how to understand this. And we said that according to Rish Lakish, the question is, what exactly does oto mean? So Rabbi Yossi holds, oto means a whole korban. And Rabbi Shimon holds, no, it just means a complete aver of that korban. So Mamela, according to Rabbi Shimon, every time you bring up one aver, you'd be chayiv separately, and that's what the Mishnah is talking about. According to Rabbi Yossi, you'd only be chayiv once, and then only when you finish bringing up the entire korban. So that would be a very simple explanation of how exactly do we understand the oto. Rabbi Yochanan holds that actually we're talking about a very special question, not all cases, but where you brought up a pieces of a korban that was choser inside. So he learns that the machlokas is only muktarei pnim. Why is there a difference in muktarei pnim? Because since if something had been partially burnt on the mizbeach and it fell off in the mizbeach, that's the classic case of pokin, you would put them back on the mizbeach. So lamaisa, that would mean that any amount would be still considered to be roy for the mizbeach, and therefore you would be chayev on shrut echutz. This is Rabbi Shimon. Whereas according to Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yossi holds, you're right, it sounds correct, but afal pikin, the oto, does not distinguish between if it was muktar bifnim or muktar b'chutz, and therefore it doesn't matter. The Torah gives us a gzirat ha-katuv, that in terms of ha'alah, either you do the whole thing or it's not considered to be anything. So even though he agrees to poke in, this is an important point, we'll get back to in a moment. According to Rabbi Yochanan, even though, of course, Rabbi Yossi agrees that the din is that if they're poking inside, that they're put back on, nonetheless, he holds that the is not mechayev yubachutz because of the pasuk of oto. Then we had ula twice. So then we had two different versions of ula, and that gave us two different answers about the machlokas of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah. So ula number one, this is the first version that we had of ula. He says that actually the machlokas is not about muktarei pnim, it's dafka about muktarei chutz. And Rabbi Yossi holds that the meaning of oto means anything that is not an aver shalem. And therefore, if it's chaser, you're only going to be chayev when it's completed. And the Mishnah, when it says you only be chayev once, it's referring to when you complete. That once would be when you complete the entire aver. Fine. Whereas according to Rabbi Shimon, oto doesn't mean an aver. Oto means a minimum shir of haktara. A minimum shir of haktara pnim is kizayin. And the pasuk is only telling me that if you don't bring an entire kizayit b'chutz, that you would be potter. But otherwise, you'd be chayev on each one separately. That was the first, ula number one. And then we had ula number two, that actually I agree with Rabbi Yochanan, and I hold that we're only talking about muktarei pnim, but basically, the question as to what the machlokes is muktarei pnim, let's take a look what Avua de Shmuel holds, which in a sense is a version of Ula, because what Avua de Shmuel says, that basically I agree with the way that Ula explained it, at least the second version that we have of Ula explained it, but I don't agree with why. I say there's a different why. And he introduces the question of whether we hold of pokin. So according to Ula, the din that we're machzirin pokin le mizbeach is actually true only according to Rabbi Shimon. But according to Rabbi Yossi, we're not machzir pokin. So since we're not machzir pokin, there's no difference between these muktarei pnim that are chaser. They are basically not accepted. So that is similar to Rabbi Yochanan, except that in Rabbi Yochanan, the issue was, look, the pasuk says oto, according to Rabbi Yossi, and oto was referring even to muktarei pnim, but of course he was meida to the din of pokin. So that would mean that we have yet another approach that is essentially the way that he understands the Ula approach. Now, those were the five different approaches that we had to understanding what the meaning of Rabbi Yossi's psak was in the Mishnah, which is that you would only be chayav once, and that once would mean when you complete it. Whereas according to Rabbi Shimon, each act of the Haktarah was a separate act and is mechayev a separate chatas.